an interesting week. God is good, though. It's been really awesome. Does anybody know what today is? Interesting day? Yeah, it is a festival. One of the, it's called the, today is the Feast of Trumpets. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah. It starts Friday night and goes until sunset tonight. So it's a 3-day festival. And anyway, God was speaking to me a little bit last week, and then some interesting things happened this week. So I had to go back to the Lord and say, what do these things mean? And do a little bit of digging and understanding to try to understand what's going on. But in the book of Leviticus 23, Rosh Hashanah is a day of solemn rest, a memorial proclaimed with trumpets, holy convocation. You shall do no ordinary work. There you go. There's the trumpet. Yeah. And it says, you shall present a food offering to the Lord. People would get together and eat together. And they would eat a lot of special food. They would eat the round challah bread. And they would throw pieces of bread on the water. And they would also eat apples and honey. And this was also known as the Day of Reckoning, a day of judgment. And in the Jewish tradition, this isn't in Leviticus, but in the Jewish tradition, it was like the new year that would start things all over again. So this was like a Jewish new year. And then for the Day of Reckoning, the Lord would judge everybody by their deeds, good or evil, and decide if you were going to live or die that year. So it was quite interesting. And Christians associate the Feast of Trumpets with the return of Jesus, because there's a lot of scriptures that says that Jesus will be coming on the clouds with the trumpet blast. And also in the book of Revelation, you've got a lot of trumpets that blow every time the Lord decides he's going to start something new, start something interesting, cause some kind of change to happen in the earth. They'd announce it with the trumpet. The trumpets also went before the army of the Lord. And every time they moved the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament, they'd blow the trumpet and tell everybody that God is on the move. So we're in an interesting season right now. These are called the High Holy Days, or the Days of Awe, for the next 10 days. Well, the 10 days started back on Friday. And everybody at this time of year is supposed to consider their life and also repent. And it's a time of cleansing and seeking of healing. Another tradition they had is they would eat apples and honey, and the apples represent healing that God wants to bring to your life, and the honey represents the sweetness of the new thing that God wants to bring into your life, like the promised land. So we're in a season of new things, new beginnings, and healing right now. And also a time of repentance. The throwing the bread on the water was a symbol of baptism and cleansing. And Jesus is like that broken bread in our lives that got scattered and broken for us on the water so that we could see that new day, that new cleansing going through the waters. So this is just a really awesome time right now. We're going to the holy days, the next holy day happens right after our conference with Abner. And so that is the next feast after that. So it's kind of should be an interesting next week. You know, I really think God's going to be speaking to a lot of us and telling us stuff about what he wants to do this year and what he wants for us and how he wants to meet us and how he wants to come in our lives in a greater way. It's also very interesting. I don't know if you guys are keeping up with current events at all, but a very prominent person passed away Friday night at the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, who was a Jewish person, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which makes it very interesting that she passed away at the very beginning of the Day of Reckoning. And it's going to be very interesting because for us in the country, it means that it's going to have a huge, you know, effect on our nation that could last for like the next 30 years, depending on what happens with the Supreme Court seat. So I just want to encourage everybody to be praying about that, praying about what God wants. I'm not going to say a whole lot about RBG. She did some really great things, and she did some things that really violated the laws of God, putting the laws of man ahead of the law of God. So anybody can read about it. But anyway, our nation's going to in a crossroads for this election and for the things that are going to be happening with whoever gets put on the court. So please be in prayer about that. We've got an opportunity to really pray for the future of the nation here. Anyway, so that's all I'm going to say about that. What the Lord was talking to me about what he wants for our church in particular for this season. I was asking the Lord on the 15th, what do you want to say to us, God? What do you have for us? Especially, you know, I'm continuing to pray with, you know, the coronavirus going on, and how are the churches supposed to respond in this time? What are we supposed to do? And a lot of people in the world, there's a lot of shaking going on, a lot of people acting crazy. Anyway, the Lord said, sit tight, enjoy the ride, continue to increase, continue to build, and do not become weary in doing good. Okay. Continue to refresh yourself in my presence and do not neglect the presence. Don't neglect the presence. Do not neglect to seek my face. Even while there was darkness in Egypt, there is light in Goshen. There's light for the people of God. There's light for God's people, even in times of darkness over the earth. You know, when you look at Egypt, all that went on with Moses, is there was darkness over some areas of the land, but God's people lived in light. So that's us. We are called to live in continual light, continual safety, continual security, not being shaken by whatever's going on around us, and to walk in continual healing, no matter what's going on out in the world, okay? There's refuge on the high ground in the spirit, even in times of trouble. The Lord's favor is on his people to prosper them and increase their numbers, even at this time. You know, whenever you see the church or Israel going through hard times, even if it seems like there's some rough stuff going on, God always increased and prospered them greatly, even in the middle of everything. And he wants to do that with us in our lives. He wants to increase us and prosper us, even when it looks dark. Yeah. Look for the way of increase in the small things, and the bigger things will come later, soon. The Lord is pleased with faithfulness to trust and believe in him, but he also wants us to be faithful to sow into people's lives and faithfully reap the harvest. Like, sometimes the church gets this idea that we need to, like, hunker down and circle up the wagons, and we're just going to kind of isolate ourselves and just kind of hang in there. But God wants us to do more than just hunker down and survive. He wants us to go out and meet people and help other people and sow into their lives and continue the work of the gospel. So we got to keep believing God for the harvest. Continue planting good deeds and good words in the people. Bring others up the hill. The Lord wants us to keep inviting people to church because there is healing for them up on the hill in church in the presence of God. And there's a lot of people who are waiting on this healing. They haven't seen it yet and they need it, and they're not going to get it unless we go out and bring them to a place of healing. So now we're at our main scripture, Luke chapter 4. Everybody go to Luke 4. We're going to look at verses 31 through 44. If I can keep the wind from blowing my pages. This is a snapshot. Snapshot of God's ministry. Snapshot of Jesus's ministry here. In a kind of condensed form. All right. Luke 4, 31 through 44. I want to talk about how God wants to meet us in different places. Thank you. Okay. So the Lord goes, Jesus goes, and he teaches in the synagogue. And he teaches that famous spirit about the Lord. Spirit of the Lord is on me. He has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and sent me to proclaim liberty to captives, recovering the sight of the blind, and set free everyone who is oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Okay, that is our standing mission as Christians. Anytime you're not sure what God wants you to do, this is a good answer right here. Preach good news and set people free and help people see in darkness. All right. So after he taught in the synagogue, he actually healed somebody in the synagogue. There was a man that was tormented that he healed. And people were really shocked that he healed people in the synagogue. But, you know, for us, that's kind of normal. We see people healed a lot on Sunday morning now. All the time. Happens all the time. But then what did Jesus do after that? Did he just stay in the synagogue and hang out there forever teaching in church? No. He went out of the synagogue and went to somebody's house. He went to Simon's house, one of his disciples. And he continued teaching there, but there was somebody in the house who needed healing. And that was Simon's mother-in-law. She was sick. And so Jesus healed her, too. So now we've got healing in two places happening. Jesus healed people in the synagogue, but not only that, he came to somebody's house and healed people in their home. And that's what God wants to do for us. God wants to come, not just meet us in church. He wants to be in our house with us. And he wants to bring healing to our family members that need it. And he wants to be a part of our lives in our house. And this is another place that we can meet Jesus. And we also need to bring other people to our house. It says, once people heard that Simon's mother-in-law got healed, they started coming from everywhere to Simon's house, and Jesus healed everybody that showed up at the house. So we need to live the kind of lives we're in our home. We've got so much Jesus in our house that these wonderful things happen, and people know Jesus is at this house. If I just go to this person's house, I'm going to meet Jesus there. Yep. All right. He goes back to the synagogue, preaches some more, and then Jesus goes out to the wilderness. The synagogue got to be too small. The house became too small. The synagogue was too small. They started having all of these people started chasing him everywhere, mobs of people. They were desperate. Once they knew that Jesus was healing everybody, they started coming out and they followed him into the wilderness. All right. And Jesus told everybody, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose. And then he went all over Judea, preaching in all the different towns that he found out there. So that's two more places where we find Jesus, where Jesus meets us and wants to be with us. So we've got in church, in the congregation, second, at our house, third, in the wilderness, where we are right now. Just look around you. Here we are, out in the middle of nowhere. God's here. And then number four, in the towns, going from place to place. Towns that are not your house. Mission work. All right. And the difference is that, you know, we're very comfortable at home. We're very comfortable in our church. Getting out to the wilderness can be kind of a lonely place. It's out of our comfort zone. Same thing with going to other towns in Judea. Back then, travel was not that easy. You didn't just leave your house to go somewhere. It was complicated. And so we need to be willing to do that. He really wants to go with us to other towns to bring good news to others. All right. What is it that we need to do, though, to help this happen? If you go to Luke 14, There's Jesus has another parable that he tells that kind of illustrates his point. Yeah, 14:16. A man gave a great banquet and invited many. At the time for his banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who were invited, come, for everything is ready. But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, I bought a field. I must go out and see it. So he's got to go plant his field. Another said, I've got a yoke of oxen. I need to go examine them. So he's got to take care of his livestock. Another person said, I've found a wife. I can't come. Me and the wife gonna stay home. No time for going out. So the servant came and reported everything, and the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go quickly to the streets and lanes of the city, bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you have commanded has been done, and still there is room. And then the master said, go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of these men who are invited shall taste my banquet. So we have a responsibility. Now, the invitation has gone out to everyone to come and eat. And we've got a responsibility to make time. That's what we got to do, is we got to sometimes just hit the pause button and come to the feast. And whatever it is we're doing in our lives, no matter how busy we are, we have to say, okay, we're going to just stop for a second and go find Jesus. And that's kind of what we're supposed to do this week, you know, for the holy days and whatever. And that's what we do. We do the conference, is we have extra meetings where we say, okay, we're going to stop what we normally do on a Friday night or a Saturday night or Saturday during the day. And we're just going to stop what we're doing for a moment and come and seek the Lord and just spend some time with him. And if we don't, the Lord is going to find somebody else to bless. It's totally up to us whether we get to eat or get blessed or not. That's totally on us. And not only that, though, but he also puts us in the role of the servant, where he really wants us to go out and invite people and bring them in. We're also we're the invited guests, but we're also the servants, too. So this week, you know, think about who you can invite to bring to the conference, if there's anybody. And then also, let's make some extra time to spend with the Lord and hear what he wants to say. Because when we spend time with the Lord, he brings healing in our lives. And he makes everything good.